Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I sit down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. As the weather turns colder and winter viruses begin to circulate, we're talking about something that affects us all, how to stay strong and healthy this winter. Flu and other respiratory illnesses are already on the rise across the country, and vaccination remains one of the best ways to protect ourselves, our families, and our patients. Joining me is Dr. Dinesh Saralaya, Consultant Respiratory Physician and Director of the NIHR Commercial Research Delivery Centre for Bradford and West Yorkshire. Dinesh has led our work in respiratory care for many years and has been a passionate advocate for vaccination and prevention. Welcome, Dinesh.
Thank you, Mel.
Dinesh, could you start by sharing a bit about your role here at Bradford Teaching Hospitals and what your work in respiratory medicine involves, especially at this busy time of the year?
Thank you, Mel. I've been a respiratory physician at Bradford Teaching Hospitals for the last 21 years. I'm very passionate, as you say, about clinical research, and I've been involved in late-phase clinical trials for newer medicines in respiratory medicine, including three vaccines for COVID-19. I led one of the largest COVID-19 vaccine trials in the UK, the Novavax trial. And Bradford Teaching Hospitals was the third highest recruiter into that trial and paved the way for the fifth licensed vaccine for COVID-19 in 2022. As we go into the flu season, I've been passionate about encouraging patients with respiratory disease as well as staff at Bradford Teaching Hospitals to get vaccinated in time to protect themselves as well as members of their family and other vulnerable ones from the deadly flu virus.
And we're hearing a lot in the news right now about flu and other respiratory illnesses that are on the rise. And that's happening earlier than usual. From your perspective, what's behind this increase and how concerned should we be?
So this happens every year as we head into autumn, particularly in the months of September, October into November. We have an increase in the number of patients who suffer from flu. Common flu is actually caused by an influenza virus. And there are two main types of influenza virus, namely influenza A and B, which spread quite severely and can cause serious illness in patients who are not only very well, but who have pre-existing medical conditions. Now, during the flu season, we see people present to our hospitals with very severe respiratory symptoms. They have flu, body ache, pain, breathlessness. More importantly, the flu virus compromises the immunity in the upper airway, promotes the growth of bacteria which are resident in our airways, and very often these people suffer from what we call bronchopneumonia and the back of antecedent viral illness. Now, if you're healthy, nearly 80% of patients who suffer from pneumonia can be treated by their own GPs. But unfortunately, the patients that we treat at Bradford Teaching Hospitals are severely incapacitated in that they have pre-existing medical conditions. So some of them may be attending dialysis, they may have heart conditions, and unfortunately some of them are admitted to our wards with a very severe illness and they can stay in hospital for lengthy periods of time. So it's very important for our patients, their carers, and our staff to understand that though flu in a healthy person can pass away as a viral illness for a few days, but it affects not only some healthy people, but also a subset of people with pre-existing conditions and can cause a severe debilitating illness.
So for those people, and I have heard it said by some, flu's just a bad cold. It really isn't, is it?
It is not. These viruses, what they do is compromise the airway immune system and they promote and increase the risk of other infections which could virtually incapacitate these people. So we see a lot of people slipping into respiratory failure, needing high levels of oxygen and ventilatory support. And sadly, we also see a small proportion of the patients succumb to their illness. Very often it's flu complicating other illnesses within their body, but it's not uncommon, and again, this I have to word myself very carefully, not uncommon to see healthy people who have had not major illnesses in the past suffer from flu and then also suffer bad pneumonia and stay for lengthy periods of time in hospital. So this is something which we should not take lightly. As we saw in the COVID-19 pandemic, these viruses mutate, they change their behavior, and every year poses a new challenge. So it's always important for us to be vigilant, not only for our own health, but for the health of our next of our kin, our near and loved ones, as well as the patients that we treat at this very important hospital.
So let's talk about that vigilance then, and let's talk about specifically vaccines. Why is it so important for people and for NHS colleagues in particular to get their flu jabs and other winter vaccinations if they're eligible?
Vaccines provide that innate immunity within the body because it triggers off the memory cells in our body to help us develop a sort of immunity. Not any vaccine is not 100%, but they help us fight the virus better. So if you have a pre-existing respiratory condition and you're vaccinated in time, you would cope with the viral load from that flu outbreak better than if you were not vaccinated. So your body has a better chance of fighting the virus and you recovering faster from the disease. There is going to be a lesser chance that you may be hospitalized or even come to harm. So viruses offer protection in vulnerable people, but in healthy people and especially as caregivers, because we are in the caring profession, it helps us protect our near and dear ones. But more importantly, it also helps us from falling ill and thereby helping our organization cope with the pressures during this vital season as well.
So Dinesh, you and I have both worked in hospitals for many, many years. And over that time, it's certainly been the case as we get into the winter season that the vaccine has been routinely offered to members of staff. And the uptake of that traditionally has been very high. You know, it's not been something that has been shied away from for all the reasons that you describe. But for some reason, right now, it's really difficult to get people to see the merits of taking the vaccine, whether they are colleagues here or whether they are members of the public. We are seeing, aren't we, nationally, vaccine rates for flu and indeed other immunizations, including childhood immunizations that are so vitally important, in decline. What's your theory about that?
I attributed that to a degree of vaccine fatigue, I would call it. I think the COVID-19 pandemic changed human behavior forever, I think. As you saw during the pandemic, there was a lot of what is called vaccine conspiracies. It was not helped by the fact that big companies in the US, led by successive governments, were then found fault at for subsequent the previous trials that they've done, attributing a very small adverse event ratio. So when you do a clinical trial, you get what is called serious untoward adverse events. And those are part and parcel of any clinical trial. So what happened, particularly around the mRNA vaccines, was there was one particular side effect which was over-amplified in some of the healthy participants. And subsequent events in those participants were attributable to a previous mRNA vaccine. As you know, today we are in a world of social media and stories of this circulated very quickly. And they began to develop a degree of skepticism around vaccines attributing subsequent health problems to the vaccines. I've had many patients talk to me of completely unrelated health disorders. When I do my respiratory clinics and I advise, my first question I ask my patients is, have you been vaccinated against flu? When they come to clinics and we want them to protect themselves. And there is this degree of skepticism of previous history which is circulated in media. And I would also call for the media to be responsible here because we are talking about patients' lives here. Because whilst there may be some adverse events reported in some of these trials, it does not affect. We did large vaccine trials in Bradford. In fact, we did the COVID vaccine booster trial, and the amount of adverse events were virtually comparable to the dummy arm of the study. We know that these vaccines are entirely safe. They protect our individuals, and it's very important that we take the offer of the vaccine, not only to protect ourselves, but also the patients that we treat.
So what would you say explicitly then to someone who is offered the vaccine and they're saying, no, I don't want that?
For people in the caring profession as us, who treat vulnerable patients, it's important that we not only protect ourselves, we may think that we are healthy, but we could be potential carriers and pass them on without our own knowledge to patients that we treat. And we have a duty of care to our patients. I myself got vaccinated 2 weeks ago because I'm on the ward this week to make sure that I was protecting myself, but also making sure I was protecting my patients that I treat, that I'm not passing on the virus. Because, you know, many of these viruses, you can be an asymptomatic carrier. You may carry the virus and each time you cough or sneeze, you may be passing on this virus despite having no symptoms to somebody who you're treating. So we have a duty of care. For the general public, I would say, time and again, Literature as well as research has proved that the flu vaccination has helped many deaths. Many may not realize that the deaths from flu in some years have outnumbered the number of deaths we had during the COVID pandemic. So we have to remember that this virus, these outbreaks can be lethal. It's important that by vaccinating, you're actually reducing the burden of the disease. You're also reducing the intensity of the viral transmission. So you're not only helping yourself, but you're also reducing the transmission of the disease and making it like an epidemic within your own areas where you live.
And for those who may not know just how easy it is to get vaccinated, whether that's through the NHS or local pharmacies, how can we describe to them that it really isn't difficult? We're trying to make it as easy as we possibly can. How do people get the vaccine?
So for the staff of the hospital, I found it so easy. I will relate my own personal experience. I had been to the ward one day to see a patient and was walking out of the main entrance. And I just saw on my left-hand side by the revolving door as I exited the hospital, that the flu vaccine was available. It was available at a time which was very convenient to me at 5 o'clock in the evening. There were still people vaccinating. I went and had my vaccine. Now, for the staff, you've got countless, in fact, your screensavers tell you about how to get the vaccine on your computers. In fact, every ward has got a sticker to get vaccinated. It's so easy. The hospital has made it so easy for you to have the flu vaccination. And more importantly, that information which you're recording actually gets transmitted to your GP record. So I found it within a week, I was able to find it on my NHS app that I've been vaccinated. And I stopped getting reminders of the flu vaccine. For the general public who are vulnerable, they've already got information in the form of a letter or a text message offering where they can go. They can go even to Remington's pharmacy and get it, or even in their own GP practice. There are also facilities for them. There are staff who will come to your home and vaccinate you. So it has been made so easy to get vaccinated.
And even with vaccination, people still may catch flu or other respiratory illnesses. What can they do to look after themselves if they do become ill?
In staff, using simple measures, washing your hands, bare below the elbows, making sure when you have seen patients who could be potentially at risk of having flu, that you used a mask to see them. For the general public, again, if you're visiting anybody and if you have symptoms, avoid that visit. It is only a few months through this season. This usually lasts up to early January. And you take these precautions during these months, you're not only protecting yourself, but the other parts or your next dear and loved ones as well.
Because we are heading into the Christmas season. For those that celebrate, there will be lots of time indoors with large groups of families and friends. That's certainly how my Christmas usually goes. How can we encourage people to just think about not arriving without the flu or a respiratory problem and then large groups of us leaving with one, because Christmas is a time for sharing, apparently. So we don't want that to happen, do we, Dinesh?
Yeah, it is difficult because Christmas is a time where family come together. But again, they're exercising some caution. If you've got symptoms, and the common symptoms of flu are a body ache, a running nose, a sore throat, and a general feeling of lethargy and feeling hot. And if you experience those symptoms, please do not visit maybe this Christmas, but maybe when you recover, you can always celebrate with your family again. Because if there are vulnerable people, you may be transmitting the virus to them. But that begs the question on why then you're asking me to vaccinate myself. But as I've emphasized, vaccination protects and reduces the severity of the illness. There is good evidence to show that if you're vaccinated, you're less likely to suffer from a severe complication of the flu. Likewise, in vulnerable people, there is good evidence to suggest that they get less hospitalized, particularly people who live in care homes or in sheltered accommodation. It's really vital for those people. So it's about exercising caution if you have symptoms to avoid such a family gathering as well.
So in closing, Dinesh, what's your key message for people to take away from this conversation? If there's just one thing that everyone could do today to protect themselves and their loved ones, what would it be?
I would say get vaccinated, because vaccine protects people. It prevents the severity of the illness. It protects not only yourself, but the rest of the family, and encourage people around you to get vaccinated as well. I think vaccine has, over the years, many years, this is not 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, over many years, has shown that it protects lives. Death from flu is still existing. It's really a problem, particularly in our vulnerable population. And certainly we know Bradford is a city which is not very healthy. We have a higher incidence of respiratory disease, smoking-related disease, heart disease, diabetes. So it's very important that we spread the message that not only ourselves, but our patients, our near and loved ones are vaccinated to protect themselves and everyone else.
So spread the message about vaccine. don't spread flu. Dinesh, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing your expertise. It's been really important as a conversation and a timely reminder that flu is not just a bad cold. It can make people seriously unwell, and vaccination is the simplest and most effective way to protect ourselves and those around us. So please, if you're eligible, get your flu jab and any other winter vaccinations as soon as possible. And remember, if you're feeling unwell, stay at home to protect others, especially those in hospital. For more information about our work, visit bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk, and to find out where you can get vaccinated, visit nhs.uk/winter vaccinations.